My dear friends, today is Passion Sunday. The epistle for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats nor of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God. The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus answered, "I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me, but I seek not my own glory." These words are taken from the Gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the Second World War had a great impact upon our country, not only upon those who went to fight in Europe or in the Pacific, but also upon those who remained here at home. The American people in general were called upon to make many sacrifices in order to meet the demands of wartime production. A certain priest records an incident which took place during this period of history. He says that during World War II, due to a shortage of food and supplies, the trains in this country were all often overcrowded and late. This priest happened to be traveling on one such train, one that was overflowing with passengers and far behind schedule. Food was scheduled to be served on board, but this service too was late. People were complaining, some of them very loudly, about the inconveniences. It was too hot, they said. The conductor should never have let so many people on board. Where was lunch? How come the trains were always late? And such comments had been going on for some time, and the conductors could do nothing to pacify the people. Now, as the priest listened to all the shouts and sarcastic remarks, he noticed that one man sitting across the aisle from him hadn't said a word throughout the whole trip. Unlike the other passengers, he was calm and even seemed to be enjoying the trip. The priest began to speak with the man, and he found out that he was on a very important business meeting to Kansas City. When the priest heard this, he looked at his watch with some concern and said, "It doesn't look like you're going to make your appointment, but you don't seem to be too upset about it." The man just smiled, and then he said to the priest, "Father, this morning I said my prayers, giving this whole day to God. I can't control this train. I can't make it go any faster. I can't hurry up the dinner service, and I can't do anything to cool off this coach. I'm in God's hands," he concluded. "If I miss my appointment, I'll try to take care of it tomorrow. Meanwhile, I take things as they come." My dear faithful, shortly before our Lord's death, he was confronted by a number of Jews in the temple and subjected to their verbal attacks, as often happened when he encountered the Pharisees. Our Lord was trying to save them by once again explaining his divinity to them. Our Savior asked the Pharisees to point out any action of his which could be called sinful, or which could be grounds for their rejection of him as the Messiah. "Which of you shall convince me of sin?" he asked. Then he added humbly, almost sadly, "If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me?" The Jews had no answers to these questions, and so they resorted to false accusations and insults, which were as blasphemous as they were untrue. "Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" they asked. The Samaritans were the descendants of Jews who had intermarried with pagans, and thus at our Lord's time it was a very great insult to be called a Samaritan. And furthermore, they accused our Lord of being possessed by a devil. But how did our Lord respond to these accusations? As one commentator says, "Insulted and calumniated as an apostate and as one possessed by the devil, our Lord could have called down fire from heaven to destroy his enemies. But," he continues, "our Savior preferred to give us an example of divine meekness and refrained from saying any more to them than what the glory of God required." My dear faithful, the virtue of meekness is defined as the virtue which controls and restrains our anger. Anger, on the other hand, is an inordinate movement of the soul, which causes us to reject with violence whatever is displeasing to us. Thus, we could say that meekness is that virtue which enables us to respond with calmness and patience to what displeases us, while anger is a violent struggle to avoid what is displeasing. For example, in the gospel today, we see our Lord practicing meekness in the face of verbal abuse. Or in the story, we see the businessman practicing meekness amid the inconveniences of travel. All of us have many opportunities to practice meekness because all of us encounter things which displease us. And one thing that can help us to practice this virtue when we are tempted to anger is to remember that nothing happens to us without God's permission. Very often he allows us to suffer crosses for our own good, just as a doctor sometimes has to cause pain in order to heal a wound or disease. These crosses may be to help us grow in virtue, or they could be to help us merit the grace that a loved one needs. And God does bring good from all our sufferings, just as he brings good from every evil which he permits. And I say this especially in light of the current situation in our country. Many have suffered in one way or another from the virus. Many more, if not all, are suffering some inconveniences because of it. And it can be hard to see restrictions, the economic situation, or the shortage of food and supplies as being God's will. But the fact is that he is allowing them for some purpose. In the midst of these adversities, we must always bear in mind that God is almighty. He is wisdom itself, he is all good, and he is all loving. He made the entire universe down to the smallest detail. And he made each and every one of us to be happy with him in heaven. He is so loving that he will bring good even from this trial. Already many people have turned to God in the midst of this crisis, who perhaps would never have given him a thought otherwise. Who can say how much good came from the National Day of Prayer, which was declared by our president? And who can say what miracles of grace we might merit by our meek and patient acceptance of God's will in our sufferings? Rather than rebel against his will by anger and complaining, and rather than giving in to anxiety and worry, we must put our faith and trust in him. Maybe you're confined to your home, and you're tempted to be impatient with your spouse, your children, or your parents. Maybe you had to cancel your travel plans or important business meetings. Or maybe you're in danger of losing your job, and this worry is causing you to be angry with those around you. When there is anger and frustration, my dear faithful, that is when you're tempted to give in to that strong feeling of displeasure at what is upsetting you, it is your duty to fight against it. Remember, though, that the feeling of anger is not the sin of anger. The feeling of anger can begin to rise without our wishing it. But as soon as you become aware of this feeling, as soon as the pressure starts to build, so to speak, right away, you must turn to prayer and ask our Lord for his help. Repeat, for example, the aspiration, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Or perhaps the prayer of our Lord during his agony in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. And at the same time, call to mind the example of our Lord, silent in the face of false accusations, or silent in the midst of the scourging and the crowning with thorns. My dear faithful, there are so many people in the world today who have things to suffer and who are in need of graces. Embrace God's will with all meekness, and earn for yourselves and for those poor souls the graces they need. Don't let inconveniences and difficulties rob you of the opportunity to unite yourself to God's will. Remember, as the man in the story said, we are in God's hands. And the hands of God, my dear friends, are the loving hands of a father. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.